Walk the ramp at any busy general aviation airport right now, and you're looking at a market report. King Air on the transient line, engine covers off, prepped for an early push, a TBM 945 next to it, a Citation over by the fixed base operator, and then the tie-down rows, a line of Cessna 172s, a Piper Archer that hasn't moved since last weekend, a Cherokee with a bird's nest on the cowling. That is not just scenery. That is the general aviation economy right there on the ramp. I'm Tower, this is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we are digging into the numbers that the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, or GAMA, just put out for the first half of 2026. GAMA releases shipment and billing data every quarter. It is the clearest picture we have of where the industry is growing, where it's contracting, and what manufacturers are betting their production lines on. The first half report for 2026 tells a story that is worth understanding if you care about the long-term health of this industry. And I think you do. The top line number is good. Total aircraft billings are up. Business jets had a strong first half. Turboprops are healthy. If you build turbine aircraft right now, you are busy. Backlog is deep. The order books look solid. But piston airplane deliveries are down, and that one number carries a weight that goes well beyond market share. Before we get into the breakdown, a word from today's sponsor. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, the turbine side of this market makes sense when you look at the broader economy. Business aviation has been growing steadily since the pandemic reshuffled how companies think about corporate travel. Fractional ownership programs are expanding. Charter demand is strong, and the pipeline of new turbine aircraft types from light jets all the way through large cabin widebodies remains active. Turboprops specifically sit at an interesting crossover point. They serve missions that a piston airplane simply cannot handle, and they do it at a lower operating cost than a light jet. The King Air platform, still one of the most successful turboprop designs in aviation history, continues to sell. The TBM series from Daher has built a loyal following in the owner-flown turboprop segment. The Pilatus PC-12 has become the go-to for island operations, medevac missions, and utility flying where you need range, payload, and the ability to put the airplane somewhere that looks more like a grass strip than a major terminal. These are not cheap airplanes. A new TBM 945 is running north of $4 million. A new King Air 360 is a different conversation entirely, but the buyers exist, the missions justify the cost, and the manufacturers are delivering against that demand. The business jet picture is similar. Light jets are moving the Citation, CJ series, the Embraer Phenom 100 and 300, the Honda Jet. These are finding buyers who want turbine reliability and genuine cabin space without the operating costs of a super midsize or large cabin aircraft. At the larger end, demand is there too, driven by operators moving people on time-sensitive schedules where the math works in favor of a company-owned aircraft. Here's what you need to know about the turbine market right now. It is not just wealthy individual owners driving volume. Increasingly, it is businesses, medical operators, charter companies, and fractional programs. The profile of the turbine buyer has broadened over the last decade. That's part of why the numbers are holding up even when other economic signals are mixed. Now, pistons. This is where the story gets complicated, and it is worth taking time with because the piston segment is not just a product category. It is the foundation of general aviation. It is where pilots learn to fly. It is where most of us built our hours. It is the entry point into this industry for anyone who is not coming in through a military program or a well-funded airline cadet pathway. Piston deliveries are down in the first half of 2026. This is not a sudden collapse. It is part of a longer structural trend. The peak of piston aircraft production in this country was the late 1970s. The industry delivered close to 17,000 piston aircraft in 1979 alone. We have not come close to those numbers since. In recent years, the industry has been delivering somewhere between 900 and 1,200 piston aircraft annually. A decline from that level is noticeable. The reasons stack on top of each other and compound cost is the most visible. A new Cessna Skyhawk, a basic single-engine trainer, is approaching $500,000. That is not a misprint. The airplane that taught a generation of pilots to fly costs what a modest house costs in many parts of the country. Cirrus designs airplanes that routinely top $1 million before options. Piper's current lineup is not dramatically different. These prices are real, and they are driven by real factors. Certification costs, liability exposure, materials, labor, and a regulatory environment that makes bringing anything new to market genuinely expensive. The manufacturers are not profiteering. The economics are that tight. That cost problem filters directly into training. Flight schools that need to expand their fleets face a capital decision that is hard to justify when used airplanes are available. A 20-year-old Cessna 172 with 5,000 hours on the airframe can still be airworthy and legal and available at a fraction of the cost of a new one. So the used market absorbs demand that would otherwise go to new production. Old airplanes stay in service longer. The market for new piston aircraft shrinks. Avgas is another layer. 100 low lead is approaching $8 a gallon at many airports, and sometimes meaningfully more for a training school running a Skyhawk at roughly 8 gallons an hour that is $64 in fuel before instructor, insurance, maintenance, and the airplane's fixed overhead. The per-hour cost of training has moved beyond what many aspiring pilots can absorb on a casual weekend when you feel like it basis. It requires financial planning, commitment, and usually either a clear career goal or significant personal resources. The industry knows this. Gamma knows this. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, has been working on pathways to unleaded AVGAS for years. That conversation is genuinely moving. The goal is a certified drop-in replacement for 100 low lead that requires no engine modifications and does not impose additional cost on pilots. Progress is real, but we are not there yet, and the uncertainty itself creates friction in the market. Operators are hesitant to invest heavily in aircraft that may need modifications or may not. That hesitation is rational, and it shows up in the numbers. Here is what I think the bifurcation in the Gamma report is actually telling us. General aviation is not one industry, it is two. There is the turbine market, connected to business productivity, to time value, to organizations and individuals with the resources to operate expensive aircraft for high-value missions. That market is healthy. It will likely stay healthy as long as the broader economy is not in freefall because the value proposition is demonstrably real. And then there is the piston market, connected to aspiration, to learning, to personal aviation pursued for its own sake. That market is under structural pressure that no single good quarter resolves. This distinction matters for a reason that does not always get stated directly. The turbine pilots of 2035 are the piston pilots of today. If the piston side of the market contracts, if fewer people learn to fly, if the training pipeline narrows, then eventually the turbine market and the airlines feel it too. Not immediately, not next year, but the connection runs through the system over time. The airlines already know this. They lived through a pilot shortage that has only partially eased. The regional carriers depend on the general aviation pipeline. The main lines depend on the regionals. Squeeze the bottom of that pipeline, and the pressure propagates upward on a long delay. What do you do with any of this? If you hold a certified flight instructor certificate, or CFI, and you're not using it, consider using it. The instructor pipeline is part of the solution to the training cost problem. More instructors in the system means more competitive rates and more accessible training for people who are close to the edge of whether aviation is something they can realistically afford. If you run a flight school, look hard at the programs available through the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, and the Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA. There are scholarship initiatives. There are introductory flight programs. These are not charity operations. They are pipeline maintenance. They produce the people who buy airplanes, pay landing fees, and fill your right seat for the next 30 years. And if you own a piston airplane and you fly it, just fly it. Take someone along, open the door, and offer the seat. The best recruiting this industry has ever done happens one flight at a time, and it does not show up in any Gamma report. The numbers are a snapshot. They show where the money is flowing in the first half of 2026. But where the money flows in aviation has always been shaped by the people who care about it enough to keep it going. AVWeb has the full Gamma breakdown, and RadioHangar.com is where you can find us between segments. I'm Tower, Blue Skies.